Sex Week is something that I think was probably originally designed, or should have been originally designed, to be something that draws awareness to sexual assault on college campuses, because that's a major issue at all different college campuses. But what it has turned into is this a vile, nasty, perverse organization that has taken its opportunity to raise awareness for a very serious issue and has basically turned it into how raunchy can we make this.
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
A lot of Americans are concerned about what's taking place on college campuses. Almost everywhere I go, I run into parents who ask me if it's safe to send their son or daughter off to college, given all the chaos that we see taking place on many campuses. This includes private schools as well as public universities. Joining me today to give an inside account of what is happening on one college campus in Tennessee is Jack Huddleston. Jack is a native of Nashville, and he's someone that's familiar with political campaigns. He's volunteered for several conservative candidates, and he himself is planning to run for student body president at the University of Tennessee. So join me in welcoming Jack to the Be the People show. It's great to have a young person available to give us who are on the outside a little insight on what's taking place, at least on your campus.
Yes, ma'am. It's great to be here, and I really appreciate you having me. We have a very unique opportunity here because a lot of folks just don't know exactly the situation that goes on so many college campuses across the U.S. And what I think a lot of Tennesseans don't realize is that these things are not just taking place on the West Coast and in the Pacific Northwest. They're taking place right here in our own backyard at places like the University of Tennessee, like the University of Alabama, like the University of Georgia, places that are right around here. We don't realize that these horrible things take place right here. And I'm very, very honored to get to share a little bit of insight and a little bit of my experience about what I've had go on at a public SEC university and let folks know just kind of what day-to-day life is like for a conservative leader like myself.
Well, you're a junior, right? Are you a rising
Yes, ma'am.
Junior? Okay. Let's start with freshman orientation. What was it like for you? And I know you were raised in a Christian household. You went to a Christian high school, private Christian high school. So tell us about that first week of college.
So freshman orientation was certainly an eye-opening experience for me. To be expected, having gone to a private school most of my life, you could say that I hadn't experienced a ton of different types of people, different lifestyles, backgrounds outside of the circle that I was in. And that's not to say that that's a good thing or a bad thing. That's just what it was. But at orientation, the couple of things that struck me right away were the number one was the fact that I knew going in that college campuses are liberal, right? That's not a secret that most college campuses are run by liberals and are full of them in terms of professors and administration. But on the first day of orientation, they talked about acknowledging white privilege. And I know that's an issue that you have talked about extensively on your books and on television about, what I consider to be, in many cases, white shaming, because you've got folks that have come up with this notion of racial privilege to think that the color of your skin is a defining factor in your success or lack of.
Well, Jack,
and that was a big deal for me.
You talked about the white privilege. You may come from a background that would be more privileged than probably some of the other white and black people on that campus. Is that correct?
You could say that, and I don't think that that's too, as a result of being white, I think that that just happens to be, you know, the color of my skin. But I certainly come from a household of two parents that work, two parents that have worked for many, many years and are very smart folks, and they are really good at their jobs. And I'm very thankful to have them, and I'm thankful to have had the upbringing that I had. But I think that you would find folks of all different ethnicities and all different backgrounds that you could consider to be more privileged than others. But I don't necessarily think that your ethnicity or your national origin or anything like that has to do with the amount of privilege or lack of that you have.
I agree with you. And the point I was getting at is that I know even at Vanderbilt, during the years that I taught there, I encountered some white people that came from very poor backgrounds. In fact, I had a student in one of my classes, and she said, "I'm white trash. I come from white trash." And she talked about what it was like coming from an underprivileged white background. She even wrote a paper on the poor white working class. And so I think you're very correct that the privilege that universities frame around skin color and whiteness, it's really about social class. You find privileged people from every walk of life.
That's exactly right. And I would agree with you too that there are some folks at UT that are white that probably came, like you said, from very blue collar working class households, and I think that those folks are the ones that suffer because of this this take on white privilege. Because again, you've got these universities that are teaching these orientation leaders and these different people how to almost guilt white people as a whole into, almost acknowledging the fact that, you know, they are, there's some kind of unconscious bias or something like that against other people, when that's not the case at all. And I think that the working class and you know, the less fortunate white folks pay that price because they haven't, in many cases, experienced any kind of privilege ever in their lives. I think a lot of white folks that came from different backgrounds, are take that very personally when you've got orientation leaders preaching about white privilege and how to acknowledge it when they're saying, "I haven't had any privilege at all. So how dare you tell me that I need to swallow my white privilege?" When they would argue with you that they've ever been privileged at all.
Well, some of the things I wonder about is after the orientations, do you think it makes white people more sensitive and friendly towards minorities, or does it have a different effect?
I don't think it necessarily makes people less friendly or more friendly towards minorities. I think that comes from a lot of the background that you have and where you grew up and kind of what you believe. I certainly have great relationships with people of different races, and that's as a result of my upbringing. I was always taught to treat everybody with respect. I grew up in a very Christian household. We go to the Presbyterian church, and we believe that Jesus treated everybody with the same, right? He treated everybody that he encountered with decency and with respect, and that's what I was, you know, raised to do, and that's what I've always done. And I think that most people are that way. I think that, you know, there are, I'm sure, a handful of folks that are prejudiced against other people, and that's really unfortunate. But I don't think that stems from the way that orientation is done. But I certainly don't think it makes people more sensitive. I think that, in fact, it makes people sometimes a little more defiant because it starts your UT experience off on the wrong foot because you've been there 2 hours and they're already, preaching at you about your privilege, and that's not a good way to start off a new Vols orientation. That's not what we want to send our message out as that, you know, we're this school that's going to immediately start preaching at you. That's not what we want.
Now, were there any other topics covered during orientation that would be like a cultural shock to conservative students?
Not necessarily. That was the big one. I know that one of the other things that is just a message of UT that they certainly hit on a lot, and I want to make a major comment about this because, and you've probably heard this over and over again, that college campuses as a whole, but specifically UT, love to talk about the words diversity and inclusion, and they say it over and over and over again. They probably said it 50 times during orientation. And I don't think there are many people anywhere that are opposed to diversity and inclusion. But what UT has done is taken identity politics and disguised it under the mask of diversity and inclusion. Because what they want you to do is they, you know, for one of the things that the student government has done in the last couple of years is mandate safe zone training for all or student organization leaders, administrators, and all student government officials, elected officials, must go through mandatory safe zone training, which is basically identity politics, political correctness training.
Could you give us an example of what the training consists of, or have you not been through the training?
I would not go through the training. That's one of the key issues that I think needs to be fixed at UT is that, you know, if people want to go through that training, it should be available. But I do not think that you can mandate a person go through safe zone training where basically they shove down your throat these identity political ideologies that you don't agree with, like telling you that you are wrong to assume that there's only two genders. That's a big one, is that, you know, if for a person that believes in two genders that you are born with and cannot change, this safe zone training and this whole idea of diversity and inclusion would tell you that that is wrong and that you are not inclusive by saying that kind of thing.
So, Jack, how were you prepared for college as far as the cultural environment that you would encounter for this orientation? Did you get was it just from conversations with your parents and friends, or did your church cover it in Sunday school? How did you prepare yourself for the environment you were about to enter?
Well, I would say a number of things. So number one, I am extremely fortunate to have wonderful parents who have always been honest with me and always been upfront with me. And we don't sugarcoat things in our house. We just kind of say it like it is. And I am a fourth generation Tennessee volunteer. And I know people, I've had friends that have gone to UT a couple of years before I did. And I kind of knew that that was what was coming. And I think that the way I was brought up and raised and the fact that I have been somebody who's been very involved in government and politics and things like that for most of my life, I came in, you know, well prepared to use selective hearing, as people joke about, you know, having selective hearing, to, you know, take everything with a grain of salt that, you know what, just because they're telling you this doesn't mean that you have to buy in and have to believe this in order to go to school here. So a lot of what I was told, you know, during orientation and what I've been told as I've been there, I just kind of let go in and out. I don't really give it a whole lot of credibility because I know that it's in direct conflict with a lot of what I believe to be true. And that's okay. And I think that's part of the problem with college campuses is that a lot of conservative students go in with their beliefs about, like, you know, I said, gender, and they are immediately from hour one of day one told that those beliefs are fundamentally wrong, and they continue to try to force that down your throat the whole time that you're in college. And that's why I think it's really hard for a lot of conservatives to be open about their beliefs, because they're afraid that they're going to be told that they're hateful and wrong and racist and homophobic and all these different things. And I've certainly experienced that, and it hasn't stopped me. I'm glad to say that I haven't stopped standing up for what I think is right just because of the backlash I've received from the left.
Well, that's great that you have been able to stand on your principles and values. We're going to take a brief break, and when I return, I'd like to talk a little bit about your classes and your professors and any advice you might have for other young people.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with Jack Huddleston. Jack is a rising junior at University of Tennessee, and he is sharing with us about his experiences on college campuses, on his campus. But he's also very much aware of what has taken place around the country on other campuses. And so, Jack, we've talked about orientation. What has it been like to be in the classroom?
Well, in the classroom has been something that has gotten progressively better as during my tenure at UT. So I think that it's very unfortunate and it's odd that a lot of the first classes that you are required to take, so the gen ed credits, you know, your first year, year and a half at school, you encounter a lot more liberal professors. And one big example for me was my freshman year. I had a Spanish professor that I had actually right around the 2016 presidential election. And it was funny because politics were not something that we had brought up in most of my classes. I guess in sometimes in business it comes up because in many ways business and politics are closely related. But in Spanish it hadn't come up. And I remember staying up most of the night of November 8, 2016, to watch President Trump win. And then I remember getting an email early that next morning before class time, and it was my Spanish teacher had canceled class. Because she said that she was physically unable to get up out of bed knowing that we were in a Trump America. And she canceled class actually two times. So it was a Monday, Wednesday, Friday class. She canceled Wednesday and Friday. And then on the next Monday when she came in, she actually came in, sat down, and cried for about 15 minutes because she said that she thought she could face us today, but she was wrong. And that she knew this room was probably made up of 50% hate. And I kind of got a Grinch smile going there because that point of view is one that's all too common. And I know my heart, and I know there's not an ounce of hate in my heart for anybody. I just obviously have fundamentally different political views than my professor did that time. And it was funny because I had an A before that. And as soon as that happened, my grade unfortunately started to drop pretty dramatically, and I unfortunately ended up with a B+ and didn't quite get my A. But that teacher and I actually sat down for 2 hours in her office one day because she wanted to talk about it, and it was a really interesting conversation that basically resulted in we don't agree on anything, and she thinks I'm a terrible person, and you know that's unfortunate, but. But that's just kind of how it is, and that's, unfortunately, like I said, an all-too-common point of view with professors. But as I've gotten older, and now that I'm in my junior year, I'm taking almost exclusively business classes. And I have found that in the upper-level business classes, a lot of the professors are actually very conservative. I think many of the business professors in particular are or have been in the past business owners. And I think that as a small business owner or somebody that has had to pay taxes and is somebody that's actually politically informed on how the economy works, how it's supposed to work, it's hard not to be at least somewhat conservative because when it's coming out of your paycheck, you don't want 70% taxes like you hear sometimes now. You want low taxes. You want responsible government spending. You want the government out of your business. And doing, you know, just the bare necessities for us. And that's what I've come in contact with a little bit more so now than in the last 2 years. But I will say that I have not had what I would describe as a liberal professor that was obnoxious in the last year, probably. Doesn't mean that it won't happen again, but I think that that happens more as in your gen ed classes and as a freshman.
Well, I can tell you that on the Vanderbilt campus, right after President Trump was elected, I had 8 freshmen contact me because they were being harassed by the students that supported Hillary Clinton. And it was a very uncomfortable situation because the students did not want to go to campus police. Conservatives are not quick to whine, but they had a situation on their hands that was very uncomfortable.
Goodness. Yeah, that's, I mean, again, that's in one of those storylines that you hear in all different places, all different times of the year. I know you're familiar with the riots at Cal, right out in Berkeley, California. They had those riots after the Trump rally where Trump supporters were assaulted and chased and all kinds of things, and the police really did not much to stop it. So I you know, that's unfortunately one of those storylines that you hear all over the place, and it's a really a sad one that conservatives don't even feel like their physical safety is protected on a college campus because of their beliefs. That's a really bad place to be.
Well, tell me what it's like being a Christian on the college campus, because I know that most campuses do have Christian organizations. Those organizations have lost power and rights over time, but what is that like as part of your experience?
So there are several wonderful Christian organizations at UT. You know, I am somebody that is very public about my faith. It's not something that I try to hide. I certainly don't want to sound self-righteous about it. So it's not, you know, I certainly am not a street preacher or anything like that. But I am, you know, not shy about what I believe. And I don't necessarily feel like I've had any encounters where, as a Christian, that I've been threatened or harassed for that. But I think that a lot of my political beliefs are in line with my Christian beliefs. I mean, again, a big example for you here is the issue of choosing life. So about once a year, this pro-life organization shows up on campus with these very large billboards with very graphic photos of aborted babies. And I'm somebody who's a little bit squeamish, and I don't like looking at those pictures as much as the next guy. But I think it's very important that they have the right to be there as much as the next guy, right? Freedom of speech is so important on college campuses, although I don't enjoy looking at it. And then every time they show up on the other side of the lawn, usually Planned Parenthood shows up and tries to have a counter protest, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And that's one of those things that I think that's an issue. I think that specifically I think is targeted against Christians, because I don't know many Christians that are pro-choice. I think that most Christians would consider themselves to be pro-life. And I think that that's one that gets looked down upon more often than not. But I don't think that I've encountered. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to just affirm that you're saying that for Christian students on campus that they can find fellowship with like-minded people, and that's not being interfered with.
No, absolutely. That's a wonderful thing that we have, and I actually there's a church. There's several churches that are closely surrounding the campus area, and I am pleased to say that those churches are generally full on Sundays, and there are a lot of good Christian church-going students at UT, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. That's something that I think is to our credit. And then I would also add that I think that Christians at UT do a really good job of being respectful and supportive of other students that practice other religions. You know, I think that we as students need to understand that the First Amendment is not something that you can pick apart, right? You're either all for it or you're against it. And that means freedom of religion. And I think that it's important that we allow people that worship other types of things be as free to worship them as we are to worship our God. And that's one of those, a wonderful testament to UT and to the student climate, is that I think everybody, I hope everybody feels respected and included in everything, because that's something that's really important to me.
Okay, Jack, we're going to take another break. And when I return, I want you to talk briefly about Sex Week and about your campaign for office.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers.
This is Carol Swain. I'm back with Jack Huddleston on the Be the People podcast. And Jack is a student, and we're about to talk about the Sex Week that takes place on many campuses across America.
So Sex Week is, in my words, I call it a total disaster run by bad people. So Sex Week is something that I believe started at an Ivy League school. I don't know. I think maybe Harvard, but I'm not sure.
I believe it was Yale.
And what Sex Week, was it Yale? Okay, Yale. And Sex Week is something that I think was probably originally designed, or should have been originally designed, to be something that draws awareness to sexual assault on college campuses, because that's a major issue at all different college campuses. But what it has turned into is this a vile, nasty, perverse organization that has taken its opportunity to raise awareness for a very serious issue and has basically turned it into how raunchy can we make this.
Right.
And I don't want to say some of the names of the programs that they put on air, because they're certainly very explicit, but I would encourage your listeners that are interested to go online and search Sex Week at UT Knoxville and read about some of the things that they put on. It is absolutely disturbing. And and it's something that embarrasses our university in front of the state and in front of the country, because I know that Fox News did a story on UT Sex Week last year, and unfortunately that only fanned the flames with the folks that run that organization, because now it's not even about putting on educational programs, it's about how spiteful can we be against the conservative state, against the conservative majority student body. They don't care about what Tennessee values are. They don't care what the University of Tennessee should represent. They care about being raunchy and vile, and I think it's a disaster. And I have pledged, and I am the only candidate running for student body president that's pledged, to defund that organization immediately. They get thousands of dollars a year in student program fees, and that's something that is decided by a committee headed by the student body president. And I can assure everybody that if I get elected student body president, there will be no more Sex Week funding.
Could you give us an idea about the level of support you feel you have as a conservative on a campus that at least the people that are getting most of the media coverage seem to be quite liberal?
So I think that what you just said is that I think that most of the people that get the media coverage are the liberals, because I think that they scream louder. They are the ones that protest. They're the ones that are out in the streets having sit-ins, and they are active on social media. But I think that the majority of students, whether it's 51%, 60%, whatever, maybe the silent majority, in fact, are conservatives. And I think that most of them are silent about their conservative beliefs because they don't want to be labeled as somebody who is hateful or prejudiced or anything like that, because nobody wants to lose friends over their political beliefs. But I think that what our students are ready for is a change, and I think that we have had progressive liberal leadership for too long. And so, what always happens every year is, during campaign season, you've got all the different candidates that are really, I'd say chips off the same block, right? You have two or three choices that are all SGA insiders that have been inside for 2 or 3 years, right? They're, you could almost call them career politicians. And they are they campaign down the middle and they try to play both sides and act like they're going to be representative of everybody. And then as soon as they take over, they immediately take a step to the left. The current president, who I think is a nice guy, but I don't think he's done a very good job. His Senate's first act of legislation was a ban on plastic straws.
Oh my!
And yeah, that was my reaction exactly, because my point was, of all these things that they promised they were going to do, they haven't done but a handful of them. And their first act as student government was to ban plastic straws and styrofoam cups. And the presentation that was given by the senator that proposed this bill, who actually, I'll note, is running for president also, noted that the same exact thing had been done at Auburn University, and it had cost the dining services folks an additional $5,000 a year to buy replacement straws and cups that are considered eco-friendly. And, as somebody that is a principled fiscal conservative, we're not going to spend $5,000 a year on cups and straws for the sake of eco-friendly. I mean, that to me, that is just that is something that is not even a good idea. And most kids, not kids, students, that's not the right word. I still consider myself a kid, even though I'm 21, don't want they don't care about eco-friendly cups and straws. They don't want you to take away their straws because, if you're drinking a cup of iced coffee or a sweet tea or something like that, you want a straw.
Yes.
And that's, I don't think that it's government's responsibility to ban something. And I made the joke, actually, when I got up and addressed the Senate as a concerned constituent, that the Republican solution, if there was if we had a litter problem on campus or something like that, which, by the way, we don't have, would be to add more trash cans or something like that. The liberal solution is a reflex to just immediately ban things.
Yes.
They ban things they don't like. And to me, that is the absolute wrong way to go about it. And I will be working diligently, if elected, to bring straws and cups back and save $5,000 per year.
Well, Jack, I've really appreciated having you on the Be the People podcast, and we haven't had time to go into all the details of your platform as you campaign for student government president, but I'd like to give you just a brief opportunity to say anything that we can do as the listeners who are conservative out there to help you.
So, first of all, thank you, Ms. Carroll, for having me on. It's been a great pleasure to be on your show. I would say this, that I want people to think about two things when they think about my campaign. The way I view the world is that there's two ways to do things, the wrong way and the Tennessee way. And my campaign is about doing things the Tennessee way again. We want to bring common sense, conservative solutions to solving our problems, and we want to get UT representing the state of Tennessee the way it should be. And I would like to ask your listeners to please follow me on social media. You can find me at Twitter at Jack_Huddleston. You can find me on Facebook, on Instagram. You can find me on everything. And the more support I can get, the better, because we need to get this message out to everybody, because it's about more than just UT. It's about college campuses across this country that need a conservative revolution. And I hope that this can be one step in getting us there. So I appreciate your support, and I appreciate all of your listeners.
Thank you, Jack. And so you've heard it. We have a young person that has shared with us some of his experiences on the college campuses. It's not quite as bad at UT as some of us may have imagined, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And so, we have our marching orders. And until next time, remember that we the people can be the people who change America and our world.